Welcome to another one of our little podcasts here. And today I'm going to kind of change things up a little bit. I want to talk to you about one of my books, basically is the point of this particular podcast today. A couple years back in 2012, I published a book entitled Learning to Pray with the Rosary. It was originally going to be a three-book series. That didn't quite pan out the way that I had envisioned it. Then there was kind of a second thought of just making it one big book, but that would have made it the size of War and Peace, and I decided not to do that. So eventually what I did was I did go through the book series and try to divide it up, and right now I'm currently working through the fourth book of this series, just trying to get it all completely right and done. A lot of it was put on hiatus because I went to seminary for 2 years and had to work all last year, so didn't quite get as far through that process as I really wanted to. But hopefully before the end of the year, I'll have the final book of this series done up. But really what I want to kind of do with this today is just kind of talk about this book a little bit and kind of get you aware of it and possibly get you a chance to go to Amazon.com and find what will be the link in this particular segment here to maybe purchase this book and find out what you can benefit from it. And the reason why it is entitled Learning to Pray with the Rosary is because it's basically using a very simple Catholic devotion, the Rosary, as a means of being able to learn how to pray and kind of get into the practice of daily prayer. It's kind of how many people like myself really started getting into prayer when I was younger. I remember back in grade school, because of a certain priest by the name of Monsignor Molloy, he was the pastor of the grade school I went to. He had this great love for the Blessed Virgin, so he would always talk about how we should do things, and one of the things that he was big about was praying the Rosary. And one of the things with the Rosary as far as being able to pray and learn to pray with it, as he pointed out, it's a great tool because you're already saying prayers. You just need to think about what you're praying to really be able to get a benefit from it, because there's many different prayers in the Rosary. There's a confession of faith in the Apostles' Creed. There's a declaration of praise in the Glory Be. You're praying the Our Father multiple times throughout the Rosary, so you're getting into the idea of the perfect petition. And then you're asking for intercession. That's where the Hail Marys come in, where you're asking somebody else to intercede for you. So you're kind of learning a lot of different facets about prayer and such like that. And one of the basic ideas that you kind of get from this is that prayer is kind of a formal liturgy in a sense, where we can learn the deeper blessings of God, especially with using the Rosary as that liturgy of teaching us prayer and kind of breaking it down. And it's one of those things that kind of helps us go a little bit deeper. Many people have a problem with using set prayers because they're afraid that they'll be empty or vain repetitions. And that's not really what those kind of prayers are all about. When you have a liturgical worship, like the sacrificial worship that was mandated in the book of Leviticus, it's to lead you into a deeper truth with a specific set plan being laid out. And it's the same thing with like the Our Father. The Our Father is presented in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6 as a model for praying, because it's shown that Jesus says, when you pray, I want you to kind of, you know, follow this manner of praying. If you go specifically to Luke's account in the 11th chapter, he puts the words, when you pray, say. So you can see that you can say the Our Father as a prayer and really get into the deeper levels of it. And it's kind of like when you're praying or memorizing scripture. You basically take the scripture, you let it repeat multiple times in your head, and it allows you to really get into the understanding of what it is. Many Protestants have no problem with talking about how you meditate on the scriptures, because as Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 tells you, you're supposed to meditate on the words of God because that's what gives you good success. And this is kind of the basic understanding of why we have liturgical prayers, prayer books, and even instruments of prayer like the rosary. It's not because of some kind of pagan wickedness that's crept into the churches. Some kind of moronic people kind of do out of ignorance because they don't know the real truth behind it. But it's something that we need to kind of keep in our mind, that it's basically a means of being able to pray specific prayers. And this goes back to the Jewish culture, because the Jewish culture has always prayed prayers like the Psalms, like the Shema, like the Amihad, which is the 18 benedictions prayed while standing. And they vary from having 18 benedictions of God to, I think it's a total of 7 on Sabbaths and holy days. But there's formal prayers that are prayed. And as one Jewish man talked about, even with this formal prayer, there are some days where I don't have what I desire to pray, but I'm praying these because I know this really touches the heart. And there's other times where I'm moved to tears because the prayers are really meaningful to me at a particular moment in time. And it depends upon where I'm at and what I'm going through as to which prayer of the liturgy is moving. And we can kind of see this when we are talking about things like the Mass or other liturgies or other worship services that happen, that people can go, they can get into the praise and worship that happens in many non-denominational churches and really dig that and really like the preaching, because the pastor gives an hour-long conversation about something that really is meaningful to them. But there's also times where you go to church and you don't really feel it. I really doubt that every person that goes to church on Sunday feels every song, moves with every song, and is really deep into it. And that's kind of where the liturgy takes a form of being able to guide us through those moments where we're kind of desolate and empty. And that's kind of where, as a guide to prayer, the rosary can really help get us into kind of a rhythmic basis of being able to pray something daily, have a specific time where you're alone with God, thinking about things that are related to what you're praying about, whether it's the Hail Mary, whether it's a mystery of the rosary, like the joyful mysteries or the nativity in particular, or the presentation or the agony in the garden, and really having something that we can identify in those moments that can go forward. And it kind of transforms way we live into something that does have a certain form and does develop the relationship that we need, because everybody needs in a relationship a date night. Everybody needs a moment where they're spending time with their spouse, their loved one, the other people that are part of their extended family or tight-knit family, to truly have that moment to deepen the relationship. Because you're not trying to invite everybody to your cousin's wedding. You go because it's your cousin's wedding. You go to Christmas at grandma's house because you want to spend time with grandma. You want your birthday to be celebrated by friends and loved ones, not just anybody out there. Although, you know, if you want to send me a birthday present today, I will accept it, especially if it's over 10 grand. I mean, who doesn't? You know, just kind of get it from there. But that's kind of where all this stuff comes into play. And it's kind of because there is a structure that we get a chance to really think about how we approach God. We think about just looking at how the Mass is structured. It begins with a song and the priest going forward, and then you're kind of greeted and welcomed to this place of worship. And then you go into either remembrance of baptism with the rite of sprinkling with water, or you get into one of the three penitential rites, to where you have a chance to reflect on what brings you to God in the service, and truly have the right attitude as you go forward, where you realize that your redemption is found in Christ. And then you move into what would be next, either a moment of praise or just straight into the reading of the Word of God. That way you're really prepared to hear what God has to say. And that moves you further into the liturgy, to where you bring an offering, and then with that offering you receive back the body of Christ in communion that was consecrated during the highest prayer in any kind of service that could ever be given. And then, of course, you're dismissed. So you get these kind of steps that take you through a motion of prayer that if you really understand, it takes you a little bit deeper. So that's kind of where the rosary becomes kind of this structured prayer that helps you get into the deeper waters of what prayer is. It kind of also shows that anyone can pray, from the simplest child that can learn to pray the Hail Marys and know the order of the mysteries, that they can truly get this gospel message kind of transferred to them. And for a lot of people throughout the history of the church, and the reason why this devotion developed the way it did, a lot of people couldn't read, so they couldn't really pick up the scriptures and really read through the scriptures, meditate on them, and understand how they would apply to their lives. When they got to those kind of moments, they would basically realize that as far as things go in the scriptures, they can meditate on them. They can think about these things as they're being presented to them. So they get these scriptural prayers. They get these things where they can meditate on the confessions that they're confessing in faith, like believing in God, believing in Jesus Christ, believing in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, and all this other stuff, and really see how their prayers connect with these and have that real experience of the gospel that can make it a personal moment where you're offering to God everything and seeing Him as the ultimate source in all these moments that are being brought out. So when we kind of do this, we can kind of come in tune with our life and see our lives coming in tune with the true relationship that we can have with God as our Father, as a loving parent, and therefore go a little bit deeper and truly get these formal prayers out and learn the basics about prayer from them, because each one of the prayers really has a lot of depth to them, whether it's the Our Father, which is probably the deepest prayer that could could possibly be understood and even prayed. And then you have like the Hail Mary, which teaches you how to approach others and ask them to help pray with you. You're agreeing with them in prayer. You're having that prayer of unity, that corporate prayer, where you're praying one for another. It's not just I go to a pastor or to a priest or to another Christian and ask them to pray that God will hear my prayers, but I'm also going to other people that are probably most definitely in no uncertain terms in God's presence. Because just as Paul said, if I'm to die and absent from the body, I'll be present with the Lord. So who else could present the case as an intercessor but somebody that's already in heaven? And that's kind of where the whole idea of the Hail Mary and the communion of saints and praying to saints has a benefit, because it's not just asking a pastor to pray for you so that you can not be sick. You have the ability to go further and deeper. And that's what these formal prayers can help us with. And it's because of these formal prayers that are in the rosary that we find that the rosary can be a very excellent source for learning not just the basics of prayer, but about the deeper levels at which prayer can be experienced in very more pronounced ways in our life, to where we can actually see how prayer teaches us the gospel and actually gets us into a true relationship, not just with God, but also with other believers as people who are to live a certain life with them, especially when we really understand what each one of the mysteries of the rosary are teaching us, not just about what the lessons themselves are about, but about how we become better people as a result. Because we see in like the visitation how we should treat others even when we have needs, or when we see Jesus being crucified, we can see how his crucifixion is a sign of love for us so that we can have that same love for one another. And there's many, many different ways in which that goes on from there. So as I wrote this initial book, my main plan was so that everybody would have some kind of basic way of being able to teach and really reorder our prayer lives so that we can truly experience the depths that comes from praying the rosary and learning prayer from praying the rosary. And in fact, the more we pray it, the more we really get into what the real depths of the mystery of God and the blessings of prayer can truly be. One of the things that you'll find as you get into truly praying and truly praying the rosary itself is that you experience deeper blessings for yourself personally, stuff that comes out of your own personal prayer life experience. And it's through these beads and prayers of the rosary that we are able to come into what I like to call Mary's garden. It's a place where we re-enter Eden in a sense, of how prayer brings us into a place of intimate fellowship. That's something that is known in the Middle East. When we see Middle East love stories, and very in particular, when we see, I think it's Abraham and Sarah, and also Isaac later with Rebecca, they're both basically having a moment with their wives in private in a garden, and therefore, there's something being seen of the intimacy there, because that's the place that a husband can be a husband and a wife can be a wife in the Middle East that's different from the rest of society. And it gives that intimate moment. In fact, the Song of Solomon is deeply about the kind of intimate love that happens in a garden. And you see why, even in the creation account, God comes to visit Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And it's there that they have fellowship with him. So you see a little bit deeper into what prayer is when you truly understand it as a place, a garden, where you can spend time with God. You can pick the flowers which are available to you in that garden and give a bouquet, because that's really what the rosary means, is that it's a bouquet of roses, or at least that's one of the Latin understandings of it, because it comes from the Latin word for rosarum, which basically is like a bouquet of roses in simple English. So this is where we're finding that by praying, we are basically giving them flowers, giving them things that really deepen that particular mystery. And it's kind of a simple act of faith with this perspective in mind that really makes the rosary more than just a counting mechanism, and really all prayer more than just a empty, vain repetition that doesn't mean anything, because you really see it as the means of a deeper, intimate love that takes you deeper into the things of God. And this is the point of why the rosary is an excellent tool to use to help deepen our relationship, even with all of its structure and stuff that way. So as I like to invite people, as you come into a prayer experience, that you see it as coming into a garden, a place where you can pick some flowers and offer them back to Jesus, even through Mary in the sense of the rosary, and really talk to God in the cool of the day with an intimate fellowship like Adam and Eve had back in the Garden of Eden experience way back at the very beginning of time. And this, as I encourage you in my opening chapter, to just come with me into the garden and learn to pray the rosary. Because as you do, you'll be able to eat the fruit of this garden, and you'll be able to really drink in deeply what the true depths and meanings of prayer are. And that really makes things very deeper for you as you go forward. So if you take an encouragement from me, I say, hey, come. Come with me. Let's get together. Let's find what's in this Garden of Mary and offer to God through her a garland of roses in the rosary, and truly learn to pray and have that relationship with God. So that's kind of the opening salvo, if you will, of what I want to talk about with these books, and kind of use this as a moment to kind of reflect on that. I'll probably use one of my four times of talking with you throughout the week to kind of highlight one of these books. It'll most likely be a Friday, so you'll get two lessons like you have been on being in Christ. One, kind of plugging one of these books for a while until I kind of get the ones that I've already gotten published kind of stumped to a degree. and then we'll go deeper into other things as time goes on. But, you know, just want to make you aware that there is this book out there. It's entitled Learning to Pray with the Rosary. It's one that I wrote initially back in 2012. It was something I had out there long before I entered into the seminary. It was kind of something I did to just kind of see if I could get something out there and if it would develop into something. And I've had very marginal success with this to a degree, but it is something that I'm proud of. And it's something that I don't think the book is perfect. I mean, if I really spent time, I would probably be rewriting it every other day because I want to make it sound perfect. But I just offer it to you as simply containing simple thoughts that should be able to help you go deeper into prayer and really learn what prayer is all about. So if you would, click the link below in the description portion of this podcast opportunity and buy a copy of the book. It's available in both print and as a Kindle book. And if you would rather have an audio version of it, there is an older audio version that does have extra chapters that were removed later when I did an edit on the book. But for simple continuity and being able to show that those older portions show up in newer books, to kind of give you some idea of what was going on from the initial creation to the current, I do have that available as well on Audible. So that would be something to kind of pull up if you have the time. Any assistance that way does help support what this ministry podcast does in trying to reach out to others. And hopefully at the end, you'll really find something beneficial in it that will really allow the Rosary to truly become more than just a prayer liturgy or a bunch of beads that you pray out mindless prayers to, but you really get into it and get into the deeper levels. But other than that, I hope you have a great weekend, and I look forward to our Sunday talk. Have a good day, and God bless you.